Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday. Words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, a servant of God, Diane Adams. And as always, I'm honored and I count it joy that God allows us to come together every week to explore the words of God together. And we have been studying the books of the Bible. We started in January, and when we complete this lesson tonight, 1 Thessalonians, we will have done 52 books. And that's pretty good. The title of our lesson is Jesus is Coming Back for Everyone That Belongs to Him, Dead or Alive. We're coming from the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we will be exploring the fourth chapter, verses 13 through 18. I pray that everyone had a wonderful new year and that you're looking forward with great expectation for what God would have for you to do. I pray that you are looking for ways to be able to grow in the things of God and do the things that God would have us to do, because that is just our reasonable service. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and play a song, and I went with the music people say, you know, old school. I went and found some old school music that I thought would be very, very appropriate for tonight. And I'm going to play the song. And once the song is completed, we'll come back. We'll go to the throne of grace in prayer. Anyone who would like to pray, either those who have called in or those who may be listening on the internet, you can dial the call-in number, which is 1-347-945-7659. And I'll open your mic, and you'll be able to lead us in prayer. So I'm going to play the record and the song, and the song is called In Times Like These. And it's being sung by the great Mahalia Jackson. Listen and be blessed. Thank you. That was the late and great Mahalia Jackson. You know, Mahalia Jackson did that song many years ago, and she has passed away and gone to be with Jesus. And the record still holds true now that you have to have a solid foundation, that you have to know who you need to be connected to. And she was talking about in times like these, for way back then, and now these times is more going on. More injustice, more crime, more murders, more leaders in high places being unfair, and just so much more. And the Bible teaches us that it's going to get worse before it get better. But I just allowed her to give us a reminder tonight that we have to be sure that our anchor is going to hold and grip the solid rock. And she stated that the rock is Jesus. Well, we're going to go into our lesson tonight, and as I said, we in the book of Thessalonians, but before that it's time to go to the throne of grace in prayer. If anyone would like to lead us in our first prayer for the new year for Wednesday night Bible study, you can press the one button and I'll open your mic and you could lead us in prayer. If anyone would like to pray tonight, just press the one button. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more again. You have allowed us to come together to explore your word. Heavenly Holy Father, we close the year with your word, and we open in the new year with your word. And for that, we're so thankful and grateful, dear God. Heavenly Father, just as we asked in the past, please don't let the word return void. And let us not be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Heavenly Father, touch everyone's heart, and they have made some resolution about what they want to do in the new year, dear God. But if it all lines up with your will, Heavenly Father, I pray that it all be delivered in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, touch each and every one of us that we may grow stronger in the things of God, and that we would hold on to your unchanging hand and hold on to the confession of our faith, dear God. Bring us through all dangers seen and unseen, and carry us over the bridges of troubled water. Lord, we're going to lean and depend on you because there's no other help we know. We thank you for the year 2018 that we are still here to see it. Lord, plenty of times people believe that we are in the land of the living, but I come to tell you tonight, and I understand, God, that we are truly in the land of the dying, waiting to go to the land of the living. I thank you that you have a prepared place for us, dear God, and Jesus is coming back for his people. Dead or alive. All of these blessings and others I ask in Jesus' name and for all of our sakes. Amen and thank God. Well, if we do a little background tonight, I believe that all of us know now, you know, that Paul wrote 13 books and we have done some of his books, so the writing that we still in is in the book. Is the books that Paul wrote, the Paulinia letters, and there was 13 of them. Tonight we in 1 Thessalonians, and Paul is also the author of this book. And I just want you to know that there's a 1 Thessalonians and there's also a 2 Thessalonians. Paul started the church in Thessalonia. He wrote this first letter to the believers. And it was just a few months after he had left. You see, Paul went there, established the church, preached, and he had left. And the reason he had to leave, because he was under duress. You see, Paul had got him some companions. It was Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They traveled to Athens after they finished the work in Thessalonians. But after a short time in Athens, Paul felt the need to receive a report from the newborn church in Thessalonians. You see, the Thessalonians, you know, they was babes in Christ. They were new. And, you know, just to see that Paul was concerned about the newborn church is really good. So Paul sent Timothy back to serve and minister to the new believers there. Paul didn't want them unattended. You know, sometimes it looks like in the body of Christ in some of our modern day churches, the new members, some of them get lost on the wayside. You see, but Paul wanted to check on the state of the Thessalonians' faith for fear that the false teachers might have infiltrated their numbers. You know, there was still opposition just as well as there's opposition today, especially in the early churches, where the false teachers wanted to make their claim and the Pharisees wanted to say what they had to say. We have seen all of this in the writing of Paul, because each letter that he wrote to one of the churches, they were either words of comfort, words of praise, or there was some type of disturbance going on in the church. And Paul wrote the letter to clear it up. But you see, this letter was a letter of encouragement, because when Timothy came back, he had a good report. You see, impressed by the faithfulness of the Thessalonians in the face of prosecution, Paul wrote to encourage the Christians in that community that they would continue, that they should and hopefully would continue to grow in godliness. Paul knew that the people had been exposed to irate teaching from those in opposition to the way of Jesus Christ and the grace of God. You know, some of them were still saying Jesus was not God. Some were saying Jesus wasn't a Savior. Some were saying that you had to be circumcised. Some, they were saying all kind of different things to distract the new believers. But Paul told them to stand fast and hold on. You see, but Paul understood that unless the young church continued to mature in their faith, the danger would only increase over time. We have, even today, so many unmatured Christians. They may have been in a church for 30 years and maybe never have studied. Go to Sunday school or go to Bible study. And even though you may have been in church for that period of time and you love the Lord, there's a scripture, I think it's in Philippians, say that you will be ever learning, but you'll never come into the knowledge of the truth. And there's so many Christians that have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. See, Paul didn't want to just tell the people, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just get it right, because he knew that it would be hard for them to change unless they allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to work within them. So these young Christians had a lot of questions and uncertainties. But Paul offered them ultimate hope, letting them know that if they hold on, there will be a time when Jesus will return to gather his people. He was probably telling them, don't place all of your eggs in one basket and just look at the here and now and what you could get and what you have and what you want and even what you need. He said, because Jesus is coming back and we're going to be with him forever. So this life, no matter how it feel or taste or look, is only temporary. The Bible describes it as a vapor, you know, here today and gone tomorrow. But eternity will last forever. So Paul is telling them, hold on. Jesus is coming back. Now, I ask you guys to read the whole chapter of 1 Thessalonians. It was only 5 chapters. And I pray that you did. And if you didn't, I'm going to give a little brief summary of the book of 1 Thessalonians. You see, the first three chapters are about Paul longing to visit the church in Thessalonica, but was unable to because Satan stopped him. He blocked their way. It is actually said like that in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. So if you read it, I know you know what I'm talking about. And how Paul cared for them and was encouraged to hear how they had been. Paul then prays for them in 1 Thessalonians 3:1. And then if we go on to the 4th chapter, Paul is instructing the believers in Thessalonica on how to live in Christ, a holy life. You see, and then we get to the 4th chapter, Paul goes on to instruct them of the misconceptions they had. He tells them that the people who have died in Christ will also go to heaven when he comes back. And the book ends with final instructions on Christian living. So that was just a little summary. That's the things that are covered in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I pray whenever you hear the book of Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, and once we do the 2nd chapter next week, you'll be able to be right there in understanding, you know, if it's a preacher preaching a sermon or if it's someone teaching Bible study, you know, you will be right there in the mix because of your study in what you're doing on tonight. And if I read the scriptures, I'm going to read the 13th through the 15th verse, and it reads as follows. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He's saying, why do you walk around with your head pressed to the ground as if you don't have any hope? He said, I don't want you to be ignorant, and I don't want you to act like those who have no hope. You know, do we tackle our circumstances like the people in the world as if we don't have an advocate, a high priest, that we are not an heir of the king? Paul said, don't act like that, because you have much more. You're a child of the king. He's saying, I don't want you ignorant and acting ignorant. And 14 said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. You see, the people back then was having a problem. They wanted to know, and Paul wrote this to explain to them. And then verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You see, the Christians at Thessalonica, they understood. And they were waiting with expectation for Jesus to return. And they knew when he comes, all the people on the earth will go to be with him. You see, but the Thessalonians was worried about their loved ones, their friends and relatives, and even I would imagine their enemies and other people who had died before Jesus came back. They thought that they would not enjoy the same benefits on that day as those who are alive. But Paul wanted to make sure that they knew the truth on this subject. He wanted them to know that those who have died will have the same benefit from the return of Jesus as those who were still alive. You know, and when we look at these scriptures, it should come to mind that these scriptures are talking about the rapture. You see, the word rapture does not appear in the Bible, but is a term frequently used in conjunction with events relating to Jesus' return for his people. You see, the definition or the meaning of rapture is just an idea that Jesus is coming back. And you say, okay, that's fine, Sister Diane, you know, and I have a lot of scripture tonight, so if you want to get your pencil. The reason, you know, if after I've made a statement like that, remember we're in Bible study tonight, I should be able to give you a place in the Bible that give us the assurance that it's so, and it's not just me saying it. So what I did, I went to John 14:1-3, and that scripture tells us that Jesus promised that he would come back, that he would return to the earth to take his people to be with him. And this is what he said in the scriptures. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. I go to my Father's house, and in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. This is Jesus talking, y'all, in the book of John. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, we could take all of the guessing out the game. We could use the scriptures to let us know that Jesus is coming back. And we can be sure because Jesus promised. And on last week, you know, I was asked the question that everything you ask God for, he says yes. And I said that was not so. But we used the scripture on last week to say that everything that God or Jesus promised. And when we asking him in reference to the promises, all the answers is yes, because he promised it and is going to come to pass. And if someone would say, is Jesus coming back? Oh, I don't believe Jesus coming back. Oh, yes, he's coming back, because he promised in Matthew's, the 14th chapter, verses 1, 2, 3. You see, when we looked at this scripture and it talks about those who died, I don't know if you guys remember, but when we were studying the lessons, the 400 years between the Old and the New Testament, and we looked at the Romans and the Greeks and everything that they had brought in after the Old Testament closed that went into the New Testament, and one of the things that they brought, the Greek language, and it became sort of universal. So the word die in this scripture, but if you had the Greek language, it's used like sleeping. You see, the death of those who believe in Christ is like a sleep. The ones who have already died in Christ. You see, this sleep is not a normal sleep. they are alive with the Lord Jesus in a different world. They have gone from their bodies, and they have gone to be with him. That for them is sleep from this world. And when they wake up, they're going to wake up to a new life. And this is going to happen when Jesus comes. Then they will live, hallelujah, in a different kind of body. So I wanted to give some proof for that. So I went to find a scripture, and I went to 1 Corinthians 15 and 5. And it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And when they're talking about that, because when the rapture comes, there will be some that is still living. So the Bible in 1 Corinthians that Paul taught in the book before this book, well, some books before this book, he say we all not going to have that sleep, but we all will be changed. You see, it's normal to be sad when someone that we love die. They have gone from us. But Christians should not be sad as other people are. For other people, there is no hope of seeing the dead person again. Christians believe that death is not the end. Those who have died believing in Jesus have gone to be with him. Yes, that's what happens. I went and found another scripture. And it's Ecclesiastes 7 and 1 says, hold on. Ecclesiastes 7 and 1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. That's a book in Ecclesiastes, excuse. And it talks about it, you know, a name is precious as ointment. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. You see, actually, Satan has always tried to make everything bad look good and everything good to look bad. You see, and we have to be careful about that. Because, you see, we have this reverse. We rejoice when someone is born. And we moan when they die. You know, the Bible teaches us over and over and over again that birth brings a lifetime of problems that we must deal with. At death, if we are Christians, we are told there will be no more sorrow. And if we go with Revelation and say God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. but the former things are passed away. Your loved one is in a better place than the ones they left behind. Now, I'm not telling you that you won't moan. I'm not telling you you're not going to be sad because, you know, your loved one has died. Or as some people want to tell Christians, why are you crying? I'm not saying any of that because it's an individual thing, and because we are human, we have emotions. But the truth of the matter is, if you die in Christ, it's like, oh, happy day. And those who are still alive will meet their loved ones one day when Jesus comes back again. This is what Christians have. This is the hope that Christians have. But I got to tell you now, the word hope, let's look at it in the perspective in which it is written in the Bible. You see, this is the hope that Christians have. The word hope here does not mean that there is a doubt. I'm going to say it again. The word hope here does not mean that there is a doubt. For Christian, it is something that they are sure about. And our hope is because it's going to be in the future. You know, I have people tell it, you know, say sometime that they hope to be saved. They have accepted Christ as their Savior, their Lord, and their Master. And they've been on their Christian journey for a long time. But they hope that they be saved. They don't have no surety or assurance that their salvation is guaranteed. It's locked in. It's sealed by the Holy Ghost. Their salvation is guaranteed. So, yes, we do hope, because it's not now, it's in the future. But it doesn't mean that you have doubt. Because as a Christian, you need to be sure. And then if you're saying you hope to be saved because you're not all the way saved, first you have to say, you have to be saying, I'm not all the way saved. I'm kind of saved, and I have to do everything right to get completely saved. And I was saved, but I messed up, and now I'm not saved again. And that's not what God intends for his people. And I'm not giving you a license to do it any kind of way. But when you really fall in love with Jesus, understand what he has done for you. That he has given you the gift of mercy, the gift of salvation, even the gift of faith. You got to realize you're not trying to do good, or you can't do good enough to do good. You can't do good enough to establish and conquer your own salvation. That'll never happen. And as Mahalia Jackson sung tonight, grip the solid rock. You need to be sure, especially in times like these. So yes, I do have hope. And my hope is based on the fact that Jesus is coming back for his people, dead or alive, and to bring and gather us to be with him. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure my salvation is locked in. And I'm going to try to do the best that I can do to please God for what he has done, acknowledging that I could never do it. So I pray that we are sure. Yeah, you're messed up. Who haven't? Yeah, we all could do better. And you see, God looks at the heart, and we desire to do better. We don't always do it. But let's rest in what God has done, what he's doing right now, and reading these scriptures, what he promised to do. And if you look at verse 16 through 18, and it says, "For the Lord himself had descended from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first." Paul is teaching the Thessalonians, y'all. In verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in a cloud to meet the Lord in the air." That's enough to shout right now, y'all. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then he goes on to verse 18 and say, because of that, he said, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Have you ever had to talk to somebody and it was really going through? And only thing that you could do to them at that time that made sense was talk about what God is going to do in the future. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying about that. You know, somebody, well, even like this, somebody's plenty of times when they say, you know, somebody, loved one has died, and the person is really, really sad. And some people comfort them with the fact that, you know, that their loved one was saved, and that person is saved, and, you know, they was going to see each other again. He said, comfort one another with these words. You know, I'm sad, you know, could be another example, that my mother died. You know, and some people use the scenario, you know, of the long life that they had, and they say, might say, the scripture says 70, and their mama 90. You know, they try to comfort them with the word and to say, you know, how long you had her. And then somebody dying, you know, you comfort them with that because they're saved, they will have eternal life. So Paul said, comfort one another with these words. So that's what we should be doing. We are all destined to die. We don't know how we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. But we do know why we have to die. And it's because of sin. You see, there's a scripture in Romans says, "Wherefore, as one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." Watch this. "For that all have sinned." So if every man, woman, boy, girl has to die, no matter how good they were, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like Solomon, Peter, and Paul. Come on, y'all. The Virgin Mary. Where there is no sin, there is no death. And we are all destined to die because of sin. And the scripture says, all have sinned. And all will die. And God has made a way for us to be with him forever. And we're living here on earth, hopefully doing what God is asking us to do and fulfilling the intended purpose that he has given us, and waiting for Jesus to come and bring us with him. That's why we say this world is we in the world, but we not of the world. Come on, y'all. God knows it, and Jesus is coming back so that we can live in the kingdom of God. First Thessalonians provide a Christian with the clearest biblical passage of the coming rapture for believers. You see, at the rapture, Jesus will return for his people. And Paul explained very eloquently, he's coming back for the dead. And the living. You see, I went back again to Corinthians. You know, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, and he's constantly talking about these things as we explore these books. And if you read these books, you know, Paul talking all about this in Corinthians, and now we weigh in Thessalonians, and they gel with one another, because I went back to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 and 54. And look what it says. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do corruption inherit incorruption. And 51 say, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And I used this before, and I didn't even realize it was in this one as well. But we shall be changed. See, the ones that sleep, when Jesus called, get them, they're going to have a new body. And the ones that's alive got to get rid of this old body. You see, the people who have been in been dead, their flesh was dead. Sin dwells in the flesh. That's why when we get to be with Jesus, wherever the prepared place he has prepared for us, there will be no backbite, no gossip, no envy, no strife, no greed, no jealousy, because all of that dwells in the flesh. The flesh is where sin dwells, and the flesh is constantly wanting the things of the flesh, and that's where the battle between the flesh and the spirit always take place. You see, we might not all sleep, because some people, and it could be some of us, may be here when Jesus come to pick us up, and even though we didn't sleep, we will be changed. And 52 say, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. They went down corruptible, but look how they're going to be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible. See, we're going to be changing in the air. Hallelujah. Brand new. Incorruptible. And this mortal must put on immortality. 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, come on, y'all, watch this, the saying that it was written, death is swallowed up in victory. You see, everything that Satan had been trying to do from the beginning of the time, and even though we know how the story ends, he has some kind of idea that he still have a chance. But the Bible says when this happened, the scripture actually said, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There's another scripture say, oh, death, where's your sting? You know, Jesus took the sting out of death. Everyone would like to have some insight into what their future holds, how much more time they have to live, or when is the end of the world. The scriptures lets us know that no one knows the time or the hour, so you just have to be ready. So I went to get scriptures to back that up, and I went to Matthew 24, for those who have your Bible. Matthew 24:36-42, and it reads, but of the day and hour no man. Watch this. No man. They say not the angels of heaven. And Jesus also told them before too, I don't know. Only my Father knows. So that's one thing we could say when somebody's trying to tell you something different. And 37, this is so interesting here. They give the rest of the scripture is going to talk about how everything is going to be going on when Jesus come back. And this is what they always use. And 37 say, but as the day of Noah, war, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the day they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving to marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So what they're saying, when Jesus come back, we're going to be about our regular business. And you need to know what kind of business it really should be, since we don't know the day or the hour. Just imagine. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. He said they were going about their usual business, not looking for the Messiah to come, for the flood to come. Well, the Messiah couldn't have came then because he wasn't born, so I take that back. But they weren't looking for the signs that the world was going to have such devastation at that time, even though Noah kept telling and telling and telling them. And see, Noah had an ark that saved them, and we have Jesus that saves us. Hallelujah. So in the day where we at now, all we looking and all we working and all we doing what God wants us to do. And a lot of times people say, what would you like for God to see you doing when he comes back? And if I read 39, they say, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. 40 said, then shall two be in a field. Watch this. The one shall be taken and the other one will be left. What are they talking about? They're talking about the saved one. We'll go with Jesus. And the other one will be left in the field. They say in 41, two women could be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken up, and the other one left. What are they saying, Sister Diane? You know, I could give you some more. You could be on a bus, and a driver may not be saved. And people on the bus, some of them may be saved. No, let's say the bus driver is saved. And on the bus, you got saved and unsaved people. Well, when Jesus come back, ain't nobody going to say, I got to finish delivering this bus to Tulane and Broad. They're going to be taken up. So you could imagine the bus is going to be going out of control. And all of the saved people are going to be gone with the bus driver. And you got to remember that that won't be the end of the world. So let's say that happens today. So many people taken up, so many people left behind. Could you imagine what they will report on the news the next day? They probably say some UFO have came and took the people. They might say climate change did something to your molecules. I don't know what all they're going to be saying. But they're going to have their theories. But they're going to have some people that are going to remember the word of God. And they're going to say it came to pass. And they didn't make it that time. But God's going to give them a second chance. But you see, he's going to be done gathered all his people. And Satan is going to be even more loose on the earth. That's when they say the mark of the beast is coming and all of that. It's another lesson. But they're going to have to get it right. And even though they might get it right because they're going to accept Jesus probably as their Lord and Savior, they got to go through the trying times. Come on, y'all. And the last verse in 42 said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord do come. And I'm going to close tonight with what Mahalia Jackson said. You must be sure that your anchor holds and grip the solid rock, because Jesus is coming back for his people. And you could ask yourself the question or just make a statement to yourself and express that you are sure. And you are ready. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to ask for prayer, if anyone would like to make a comment or give us some more insight on a rapture, you can press the one button at this time. It's a brand new year, 2018. Can somebody say something about Jesus? and what he's done for them. Anybody have a praise report? Caller, your number is 985-774-71. Your mic is open.
Hello, Sister Diane. This is exactly what I needed to hear. I was a little confused on the point of sleeping and in the blink of an eye. So this is something that I really needed to hear. So I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, Sister Diane McBride. And I appreciate the fact that you call in because, you know, if God has allowed us this forum that we could press the button, we could talk online, we could talk offline. So if it's something somebody, you know, may need to know, you know, God has allowed this forum, like I say, to so that they could, you know, get whatever they need. And I thank God that you made the statement that you did. And I thank God for you.
God for you, Sister Diane. Thank you.
And Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody.
Yes.
You too, my friend Diane McBride.
Thank you.
God bless you, baby. Caller, your number is 832-533-41. Your mic is open.
Good evening. God bless everybody in the listening area. My daughter would like to sing a hymn for you tonight. Hold on.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My mom requested Amazing Grace. Okay. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for his was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just how he came to love me so. He looked beyond all of my faults and saw my knees. Thank you.
Well, we just want to say thank you, little Monica, for sharing your gift with us on tonight. And I thank God that your mama had you called because I would like to use your gift even more. So I'll talk to you offline about that, and we're so thankful for your gift and keep using and sharing your gift with the brothers and sisters in Christ.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Is there anyone else? That was so nice. Is there anyone else who'd like to say anything? Well, if not, we're going to end with a benediction. And my benediction is always the same when I'm leaving my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is my desire that we all grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Y'all be blessed. Next week, the lesson is on 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians have even shorter books. So I ask that you read the entire book of 2 Thessalonians, and I'll let you know what verses we're coming from. 2 Thessalonians only has 3 chapters. Read the entire books. If y'all reading all these books, baby, y'all cutting up. y'all doing well. And so that's our lesson tonight. God loves you and so do I. And if you take care of God's business, God will take care of yours. Be blessed and good night.